fighting for America.
Here at the home of the team, with the most famous Statue of Liberty play in history, I don't need to remind you that big things happen late in the fourth quarter.
Fighting for Idaho.
We are here fighting for the voiceless, especially the children who are conceived in rape and incest, because their lives matter, just like a child conceived with wine and roses.
Fighting for you.
I came in Monday morning, I was shocked to learn of the news reports about the footballs. I had no knowledge whatsoever of this situation until Monday morning.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Your show always delivers.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
705 K Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up, a state senator lays the smackdown. Front page of the Statesman today. State Senator Jeff Sitaway, the chairman of the Senate Local Government and Taxation Committee, he controls the purse strings, which all tax increases and tax cuts must go through the House. Though he's no friend of the tax increases, he's indicated he won't even consider any tax cuts this session until starting pay for teachers is raised to 40 G's a year. From the Lewiston Tribune's William L. Spence, front page of the paper today, here's the quote. By the way, East Idaho senator holds governor's feet to the fire. Here is the quote when he's talking about Governor Otter, who I believe is still recovering from surgery. Our schools are dying, he said. I don't know how else to put it. We can't keep teachers or attract new teachers. And I'm afraid that's getting down into our education system where we can't attract college students to the profession. Nobody goes to college to get a degree where they qualify for public assistance. That is a debate and an indictment on our own education system. So is Senator Sitaway wrong when he says this, number one? And number two, do you blame the governor? Well, it was the legislature that passed the bill. The past the cuts, and what about the state school superintendent? See, why didn't we have this debate, this discussion, when we had the election, right? And I know a lot of people were about Common Core and such, but and yes, that's important. But if it's as bad as the senator says, shouldn't this be addressed before the legislative season so we could avoid these embarrassing headlines? A man that is never embarrassed until he appears with us every week, our great friend Dave Petzo from Money Matters, the Petzo Center. Petzo Financial joins us here at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Always good to see you.
Always good to see you. As we talk business and everything else, we'll have Dr. Tommy Ahlquist joining us next hour to talk about his plans for the city and giving back and such. How big of an impact is it to have a great state or city or county education system when we're talking about bringing folks in?
Well, I think, you know, obviously if you're thinking about moving a facility and moving all those people, education is one of the top things. You want the whole package. And so obviously you have to sell all of these businesses on the idea that you are interested in education, better education, and are focused on it. So I think it's just one of many components, Kevin, that go into the mix. But it's an important one.
It's kind of like, how do you solve the economy? There are so many intricate layers in education. Is it, you know, is it about taxing more, paying people more? It seems like we spend enough money, but is the money properly allocated? Our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, has kind of commandeered the headlines here on this program, making an issue of textbooks in some schools in Boise. The kids don't have textbooks. I mean, to us, that's unheard of.
Well, it is. But especially in this day and age when a lot of textbooks come, I assume they do anyway, on tablets and things like that. I assume that they're updated very simply and easily. The day of carrying a whole briefcase full of books, I assume, is diminishing. But much is done online. So that is surprising.
Yeah, and if you don't have a tablet, you should be able to have that old book with people's names carved in it.
Right.
But and look, we're, I think, a progressive city where, you know, people spend a lot of money. You know, you live in the city of Boise, you got those levies, and they passed those levies. But And then they have folks, and God bless the educators for working with it, but, you know, you got to go to the library, and, you know, next to Treasure Island is your chemistry book.
Right, right. And, no, it's you're right. We spend an awful lot of money. One of the things that I always, you know, talk about or the marvel about, Kevin, is only in government do we think that the solution to something that's broken is to put more money into it.
Right.
I mean, right. You know, the education system isn't working. Okay, it needs more money. The welfare state doesn't work. It needs more money. It doesn't need fixed. It needs more money, and that will naturally fix it. But no business would ever operate that way. But it's just this natural, do we need more money? Well, I don't think we do. What we need to do is fix the system. Does that require more money? Does it require less money? Money's not the question, or shouldn't be the first question. It should be the last question. It should be what is going to solve the problem. It just seems like with education, of course, people are so entrenched on all sides of some kind of viewpoint. The union won't budge on anything, and so it makes it very difficult to make changes.
Well, I want to hit you with this, Dave Petzo.
Uh-oh.
Because the governor did talk about a tax decrease for the upper earners here in the gem state, if you will. But you have the chairman of the Senate Local Government and Taxation Committee, Jeff Sitaway, a 66-year-old fourth-generation sheep farmer who is from East Idaho, very conservative guy, says that I'm not going to put anything through until teachers minimally get paid $40,000 a year. What type of signal does that send? And are teachers going to get a raise because of the senator saying this?
I don't think they're going to necessarily get a raise, and it should be district by district that always has operated on local basis rather than on a state, or as the states all say, we want to take control of education, and they've handed it over to the school districts to do that, and local is better. So I don't know what the point of setting a minimum state standard is for this senator or congressman. I'm sorry, I don't know who.
State senator, but this is what he says. Now, you as someone who loves Idaho, when you travel to these big business conferences, people ask you about Idaho, and you sit there and tell it like it is.
Yep.
How great it is and everything else, because you could live anywhere.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Our local schools are dying. I don't get else how to put it. We can't keep teachers or attract new teachers, and I'm afraid that's getting down into our education system where we can't attract college students to the profession. Nobody goes to college to get a degree where they qualify for public assistance. Huge allegation, and you could say an indictment of the education system today.
Well, you can. I don't know that the local is dying. I think that's a bit overstated. And whenever you start off new in a job, whether it's teaching or anything else, you don't get this some kind of top pay. And I think it's absurd anyway. And I know this isn't going to be popular, but when I was a kid, the teachers had to work during the summer, especially the new ones. Now, as you got more tenure, you didn't have to. But now we have a job that basically, roughly speaking, is 180 days. I know there's a few on either side. And so if you're starting off on that job, I'm not sure that it should be paid a, quotes, professional salary as you are trying to learn your trade. Just because you have a degree does not make you a highly qualified individual. I had licenses, too, and I certainly was not anywhere near as good a financial advisor in year one as I was in year 5 or 10 or today. As people get more experience, they are flat better, and teachers are better and deserve more pay. But coming in and saying that we have to have some kind of minimum wage starting off, is looking at education completely wrong. Again, it's just saying, well, if we paid everybody more money, then all the problems would go away. It's just that's just the wrong way to look at it.
We're going to ask you to put your headphones on here. Dave Petzo with us here at 580 KIDO. Our friend the president was in, and this would not be a session with Dave Petzo if we didn't allow him to respond directly to the president, and the president making so many contradictory statements about the economy and how wonderful it is. Let's get the truth here with Kevin Miller from our friend Dave Petzo. We'll put the president to the truth detector test.
And Idaho, we've got big things to do together. I may be in the fourth quarter of my presidency, but here at the home of the team with the most famous Statue of Liberty play in history, I don't need to remind you that big things happen late in the fourth quarter.
Okay, there he is.
Here in Boise, your unemployment rate has fallen below 4%, and that's almost two-thirds from its peak 5 years ago. So the verdict is clear. The ruling on the field stands. Middle-class economics works.
I have no idea what his last... I thought the speechwriter was brilliant. I mean, that is a brilliant way to talk about it. Fourth quarter,
pandering.
Boise. Pandering, absolutely.
I mean, is everything
absolutely.
Boise State here? I mean...
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. No, hey, when it comes to the, you know, if you're standing there at BSU...
You're the
this
opposition,
is
Dave Petzo. Come
I know.
On.
Well, the rest of it, I've got to toss aside. I'm sorry. But I think the speech writing was great. It's not his. Speechwriter wrote it. He delivered it.
However, though, when he talks about middle class
is nothing. That's
economics works. The middle class, specifically the black middle class, has shrunk amazingly.
Yeah.
Under this president, and the president comes out and just basically lies about how everything is wonderful. Let's start with the unemployment numbers. You've covered this from the very beginning.
Yep.
The unemployment numbers are not real.
No, they're not. It's better, and Idaho's even better, and Idaho deserves credit, contrary to what the federal government has done, contrary to everything that Obama's tried to do. He's anti-business. He's done nothing to help. Number one, help the small business, which is the job creator, he certainly hasn't helped the middle class in every single number, and even the Democrats, they're trying to grab this as an election issue going forward because it's been dismal when you look at how how flatline the middle class pay has been. And as far as the unemployment numbers, of course they're juiced. We have something like three times the number of people on Social Security. There's just this wide, get everybody on Social Security because that takes them off of the unemployment rolls. And then the people, so the job participation rate is the lowest it's been in this country since basically World War II. So when we look at that time frame and say, why are people dropping out? Because they can't find a job. And you have multiple part-time jobs, not people earning a full-time working wage. That is a fundamental problem, whether it's structural, whether it's because of Obama's policies. Him taking credit for the middle class or the unemployment rate getting better in Idaho is absolutely ridiculous. But it doesn't stop him from taking credit for everything that's going right and denying everything that's going wrong.
What about his message, and we'll talk about this with Dave Petzo next, the message of socialism that seemed to resonate with the young people. We'll have Dave Petzo address that next. Kevin Miller in the morning, along with Dave Petzo, taking your calls at 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
What I do know about Boise is that it's beautiful. I know that because I had been here before. I campaigned here in 2008. Fun. And the truth is, because of the incredible work that was done here in Idaho, it helped us win the primary, and you know, I might not be president if it weren't for the good people of Idaho.
Gosh knows I tried to stop him in Pennsylvania, but Dave Petzo, it was you and the folks in Idaho that gave us Obama.
Thank you. Yeah.
And if you ever read Dan Ball's book, chief political correspondent for the Washington Post, he spells out Obama's strategy. It was brilliant that he knew he couldn't win in the big money states like New Jersey, but if he put together an Idaho and an Oregon or a Wyoming, those delegates would be just as much as New Jersey. So fiscally, it was a brilliant strategy.
Well, it was. You cobble them together and you win how you win. It's an electoral election. This goes back to Abraham Lincoln. I mean, you know, there's so much written about Lincoln that it's fascinating to look at his run even to try to get the Republican nomination, which he wasn't even thought he would come close. But the strategy of cobbling together the correct number of delegates to win instead of going head-to-head where you can't win.
Well, my favorite Lincoln story actually is where... Boy, everybody has one, I guess. We're like David Leroy, I guess. But anyway, you know, where it looked like he was going to lose to, I guess, Meade or McClellan or whoever, and it was up to Sherman. And if Sherman hadn't taken Atlanta or gone to the sea, they thought Sherman had gone crazy. And once he had broken through the South, it assured his reelection. So let's talk a little bit about the president advocating socialism. saying that success should be for everyone. You have these young, impressionable millennials at Boise State that yep. thought it was wonderful that he's going to equal the tide for everyone. We'll start with that, Dave Petso.
Yeah, to me, Kevin, this is the most scary thing for future generations. Is to me the number one. We thought that this president would be a good idea in the first place with a socialist message from the beginning. This isn't a new Barack Obama. It's the same old. And the idea that he has an audience in this country is frightening to me, that we would think that the way to wealth, the way forward, is because, Kevin, you have more than I do. I'm not worried about what I have. I need to take what you have and get rid of it. If we take the big guys down, we will somehow feel better about ourselves. It's not a Robin Hood thing where you're literally giving to poor people to raise them up. This is not socialism does not raise people up. It flattens everybody out. It destroys the economy, and people cannot change or evolve from the circumstance that they're in right now. Taxes are so high, there's no way to accumulate wealth. Just look at Europe, and the same families have money and keep passing it down generation to generation. As an entrepreneur, you can rarely break through to move higher. Capitalism is a society that wealth is lost, wealth is made, and it's constantly turning over, and that's the beauty of it. And everything great in this world, everything from art to architecture to business to supercomputers, is done in the United States. Doesn't that dawn on anybody that everything good, everything beautiful, everything creative is done here?
According to the president, he's going to make it better. Quickly, I've got a couple more questions for you here. The idea that community college should be free, of course, that's going to cost us $60 billion, which more likely will be $120 billion. And then I want to know that everybody that went to college, do we get that money back?
No, we don't get it back. And besides, the idea that everything should be free is absurd. The idea
What do you say to young people, though, that are drinking the Kool-Aid?
Look, if I had a choice, do I want to pay for something or do I want it to be free? But the point is with our kids, we want them to do what? We want them to partner with us when we're teaching them how to save. Does it do a kid any good if I just put money in an account for them? Or does it do them some good when maybe I put some money in, if they put some money in? We share the responsibility. We share the cost of education. I help my kid go through school, but doggone it, they need to go get a job. They need to pay for some part of it. They need to pay for the books. They need to pay for the tuition, something along the lines. That's what gets people to appreciate and really learn.
There is a report out of China that the good times might be over for them. What does that mean for us, and what does it mean for them that this incredible growth that they've had for many, many years could be coming to a standstill?
It could be slowing down, Kevin, or it is slowing down. That's not even a could be. It definitely is slowing down. I think it's a little soon to be writing off the Chinese. But to the point, if it does really slow down and pull into a recession, it would be really a big deal to the world because it's the second biggest economy in the world. It would be a major slowdown. We'd see oil prices decline dramatically, even from here, as well as you'd see continued declines in commodities. Now, you wouldn't see it as much as maybe you would think, because they have already declined because of the slowdown, not because of recession, but the fact that they're not growing as fast. The Chinese aren't using all those resources as much as they did before.
Talk about a buzzkill. Troby Lundberg, Trimby Lundberg, Lundberg, whatever, says that we might see the final bottoming out of gas prices. The last time they were $1.84 nationally, it was when President Bush left office. What do you make of that statement, and what impact will that have if gas prices start to go up?
Well, if they don't go up too much, we've still had a big savings here. So this is huge, and we're only really beginning to see the savings now.
Right.
Because it's something that works its way through the system. Obviously, the oil companies are initially taking a hit right now, but all of the, let's say, the gains are going to come over the next 6 months, year, as people get used to paying less and having more money in their pocket, and therefore spending more in the stores, restaurants, et cetera.
Dave Petso, anything that we should be looking out for this week? It's funny, Maggie O'Mara was talking about Micron last week, and I go, Petso was all over that, as far as just how much the stock has appreciated.
Well, it's this particular week is I would watch the Greek elections. And what I'm
the
seeing...
The Greeks?
The Greeks.
Sparta or
don't
Athens?
Don't want no freaks, yeah. But they're getting them.
No Greeks. Watch the Greek elections.
I date myself to the Eagles song, right?
It's yes. Okay, yes.
Yes.
This is the station where you could do that
I
openly.
Can do that,
yes.
But the Greeks don't want no freaks, but they're getting them. And,
right.
And the leftists won, and they're thinking that they're the way to re-energize this country is to not pay their bills. Let's see how this goes out. If they form a coalition, I'm sure they will, but how will they govern? Will they govern from that? Because if so, if they leave the European Union, it's going to be devastating for the Greeks. Here's what I like about it. Look at the market reaction. We're flat this morning, and Europe is up slightly. They're not concerned about this. I think that's a very strong indicator that Greek is not the – it'll be a headline thing, but is not all that vital to the European Union.
Very different from a few years ago.
Very, yeah. Very, very different.
Dave Petzo, we're going to see you next week. Are you traveling the world? Are we going to get consistently?
You're going to see me next week.
Oh, good.
I am traveling the world, but I'll be back.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Did you deflate the ball?
I did the job I was told to do!
Did you deflate the ball?
You did what I did!
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. We're waiting for Tanya J. Powers, Fox News Radio. By the way, some great blogs on our 580KIDO.com. And you're thinking to yourself, Kevin, why are you always plugging the web? Well, dude, everybody loves the web. By the way, Dr. Tommy Ahlquist will join us in the 8 o'clock hour, looking for him, COO of the Gardner Company. They've been doing a lot of great work in the Treasure Valley. Just our commitment to... talk about about the good things and get some firsthand knowledge about the growth. But by the way, if you go to 580kido.com, you'll see an article I wrote. Seahawks support Obamacare. That's right. They support Obamacare. And you've got Richard Sherman. I know a lot of people, they love the Seahawks here. We love the Seahawks. They're good. And they might be the best team in football. They certainly were last year. But you can get the whole thing here. But I'm going to share this with you now. Do we have this? There we go. Maybe. Well, we'll get back to the Seahawks endorsing Obamacare in a minute. Joining us now, Tanya J. Powers. And, you know, I was thinking of you on Saturday because you are our intrepid NFL expert. Good morning, ma'am.
Oh, you give me way more credit than I deserve.
Hey, look, the host is credibility challenged here. We need someone that knows what they're talking about.
Oh, we're all in trouble now.
Yeah. So, now, if this was college ball or the SEC, this would be right in your wheelhouse, right?
It would. It would indeed.
You know, people, if it were Nick Saban instead of Bill Belichick.
Well, you know, there's always that behind the scenes kind of soap opera story going on, no matter what it is, you know.
Sure. So
I happens to be the NFL right now.
I'm gonna, if you don't mind, I was gonna share some comments from Coach Belichick and just give us your thoughts if you would.
Oh, well, go right ahead.
From his Saturday, you can give us the in-depth team coverage here of what he really said. Here we go.
I'm not a scientist. I'm not an expert in footballs. I'm not an expert in football measurements. I'm just telling you what I know.
So, Tanya, there we have one of the greatest coaches of all time, at least currently in the NFL, holding a Saturday news conference, talking about air pressure and saying what he did know. What do you think caused him to do that?
Well, you know, I don't know, because it's really interesting, though. Bill Nye, the science guy, has actually been kind of gotten on this and says, no, his science statement on the footballs and the inflation of them, apparently Belichick was wrong, and he's kind of called him out on it now.
Maybe he's a Seahawks fan.
You know what? That could be more of this whole soap opera thing going on.
Yes, we've uncovered the Bill Nye, the science guy, as we uncover everything else. So you had Richard Sherman saying that the Seattle Seahawks best ever cornerback, just ask him, bring up a point, and look, I'm biased, I'm a Patriots guy, where he says, who knows what's going to happen? Goodell and Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, hang out in their, you know, at Kraft's house.
Yeah.
So does that further the story today?
Well, you know, it's part of it because, you know, he's known for speaking his mind, so to speak. I guess that's a kind way of saying it. And he says, you know, he doubts the Patriots will even be punished by the NFL if they're found guilty of deflating the footballs. And he even, like you said, he even mentioned the fact that Goodell was close with Robert Kraft, the New England owner, and you know, kind of, I guess that's to bolster his opinion there.
Hey, that's one of his bosses. I mean, if the boss invites you over, you go over to his house.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just mad that Paul Allen didn't go or whatever.
That's a good point.
Well, does this, but, you know, now I'm going to ask you to use your journalist Jedi here, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that put more pressure because now you have Sherman stating that the Patriots are not going to get punished? So does that pressure the NFL to maybe look at this more closely or come up with a penalty, even though people acknowledge you can't really prove anything?
Well, yeah, I don't know how they'll really do that because, like you said, unless there's, you know, secret videotape footage that we don't know anything about, and you know, unless there's something definitive, it kind of remains to be seen. I mean, who knows what they're going to find on this? But just because he said something, I don't know if they're going to feel any more pressure than they already do.
I'm just wondering if this is going to impact the game. Breaking news: Tom Brady just said his feelings were hurt because of Deflategate. Not making this up.
You're not making that up.
No, breaking news as it happens. Yes, his feelings were hurt. And here you have Tom Brady with all his successes. I'm glad to know he's a sensitive guy like the rest of us.
A sensitive guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, his feelings are hurt.
That's what we look for in an NFL quarterback.
Sensitive, yes.
Yes.
Anyway, Tanya J. Powers with us. Fox News Radio, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Do people think that this is going to be a distraction, and do we expect this the NFL to do anything? Or
I don't know. I mean, they can do something. They can fine them. If they find out that they're, you know, responsible for all of this, they can fine them $25,000, and you know, they could do more than that. It's not like it's capped at $25,000, you know, which is really not a whole lot compared to, you know, what they're worth and what the team pulls in. It's really not much at all. But who knows what they'll find out? And you know, think about it. This time, usually when we're you know, getting ready to in the run up to the Super Bowl the week before, we're always talking about things like, you know, the commercials and the ads and the halftime act and that kind of stuff. So this has kind of drawn some attention from that.
Well, I'm very upset at Budweiser.
Oh, for their choice of ads?
Well, the puppy has, because again, it's all about, hey, let's make it tweet-worthy and buzzworthy, and hey,
oh.
the little adorable puppy from last year, who's not a puppy probably now,
yeah,
is allegedly missing. We've got to get those hashtags going. Come on, exploiting a puppy?
There's only so much we can do, but we can hashtag.
Anything else you'd like to share with us, your pick to win the SEC next year?
You know I'm biased.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can't be fair and balanced on that one.
Tiny J. Powers, we appreciate it.
Don't think less of me journalistically now.
No, I've got a good question for you the next time. That'll be the tease.
Really, oh, okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Take care, ma'am.
Thanks.
Tiny J. Powers joining us from Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. The Gardner Company, COO. The man that is doing a lot of wonderful things here in the Treasure Valley, in the city of Boise, Tommy Ahlquist. Dr. Ahlquist will join us coming up next hour. Something different for our program, where we talk to people that are making a commitment to making our city, our valley, so much better. And even though I don't know Dr. Ahlquist, looking forward to hearing about his enthusiasm, to hearing about his positive energy when it comes to the Treasure Valley. You take a look at what the Gardner Company has done, what they've proposed, and how many times do we think, I really wish somebody or some organization would do this? They appear to be doing that. We'll talk about that. Plus, add the words. Big hearing going on down at the State House. Are you in favor of it? Are you aren't? Are you aren't? Are you not? 580-5436-580-KIDO. We have our intrepid reporter, Tea Party Bob, joining us from the Gem State Patriot down at the hearing. And it'll about kick off in about 13 minutes. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. I doubt if they're going to kick this off in 13 minutes. A nice quiet crowd, should I speak. At least calm. There's about 500 people here. But they're going to fill the auditorium, and they will probably fill an additional one. This is going to be quite a spectacle down here. Nobody expected to see a crowd as large as this. And, I mean, it runs from one end of the Capitol almost to the other with the lineup. So we're looking for a long session here, and this will probably run for 2 or 3 days if I have any judge of hearings that I've been to before.
What's the mood?
The mood is kind of calm. There's a lot of excitement with some people in terms of talking to each other. I saw our friend Dominic and Pro-Life, a few other people from the Tea Parties here. So there's a good mix. There's a lot of support from both sides. We're just have to see how this whole thing comes out, but I think it's going to be an interesting session here, and I think the committee is going to get an earful or two.
What are you going to say to him?
Actually, I have a speech here that I'm probably not going to get an opportunity to talk to them today. I will probably send this to them and put it out in the newsletter.
Don't they know who you are?
Hey, listen, you know, I'm very quiet about who I am. I don't like to be noticed in crowds like this.
I'm with you on that one.
You know, businesses will be challenging the courts for the denial of public accommodation because of religious beliefs. You know, we've already seen many cases where the courts have used very broad interpretations of these words, public accommodation. This change could actually work against the people that supposedly be designed to help. Businesses are going to become exposed to lawsuits that could have adversely affect them, limiting their ability to hire and fire employees. You know, if small business owners suspect an individual sexual orientation, they could just choose not to hire them for fear of future lawsuits should they have to fire them for poor performance. So I think there are a lot of bad parts to this. Add the words. When you're talking about 3% of the U.S. public, according to the Census Bureau, that are gay, this is a very small portion. And I think what they're going to do here is push an agenda forward that most people here in Idaho don't want to have pushed forward. You know, the people of Idaho are extremely tolerant, and they're easy people to get along with. But, you know, this is something that they didn't want. We already have the laws in the books that are necessary. You know, adding the words is actually going to make it easier to run a business in Idaho, or are we setting ourselves up for an entirely new set of problems?
Hey, let me hit you with, have you seen Chief Masterson? Is he there?
I haven't seen him yet, but I would presume he'd probably show up. Of course, he doesn't have to wait in line. He's got the uniform on.
Well, maybe we should have the Tea Party Bob uniform. You could have your Miller Militia shirt on there. That would be some good advertising for us.
I'm sure my standing in the Capitol is just about the same as everybody else that's standing in line right now. They haven't given me a press credential yet, so we just kind of sit around and take in all of the various things that are going on. You know, you have to take a look at one thing. This is going to affect business. There was a poll done by Gallup, and Jim Clifton, the CEO, he wrote, for the first time in 35 years, we've crossed the Rubicon with the number of small business deaths outnumbered the small business births. And last year, 400,000 businesses were born and 470,000 were actually killed. They actually died.
Sure.
You know, and the second reason given for not starting a new business was burdensome government regulations. You know, and unless you can increase those regulations, you're going to see more businesses opting out, more people opting out of getting into small business. And you have to understand, when free enterprise dies, America dies.
Tea Party Bob, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. There we have it. We are taking your calls. Over 500 people at the Add the Words hearing. Is it time to add the words? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Plus, you have State Senator Jeff Sitaway making the thing. Well, of course, you know, you take a look at the headline in today's statement. East Idaho Senator holds governor's feet to the fire. Our local schools are dying. Do you agree with that statement? More next with Kevin Miller, 751.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
In my testimony specifically, I'll be talking about accomplishments of the Republican Party in civil liberties throughout its inception, from Abraham Lincoln, freeing the slaves, the Republican Congress, passing the 13th and 14th Amendments.
Our friend Dominic at the hearing today, Tom Munns, are you there?
I'm here, my brother.
Good luck. You've got about a minute. Tell us what's going on.
No, I'm not there. I'm here. I'm on the radio. I'm on the radio.
Oh, come on.
There. No, I'm not down there. I just had a couple of thoughts. Maybe I could run by you this morning. Is that all right?
Well, you got 40 seconds. They're yours.
Well, I'm just, you know, I want to know how this is going to work out since this was done as a constitutional amendment. Nobody even talks about this. If this is the best way, I think, to be able to fight this thing is that a constitutional amendment can't be overturned by a law or a House, you know, it can't. It has to be done. It has to be set out like the federal constitution and the amendment process. You can't just have the legislature say, oh, well, we just decided to overturn this amendment. You can't add the words unless you add an amendment or repeal the existing amendment, period. You know, and this thing is done. What happens, you know, we all know that they are a little bit more aggressive verbally than we happen to be towards them. So what happens to us now? You know, they're going to actually make a law that anybody that speaks against them now is going to be punished, you know? And shouldn't they be looking at unalienable rights of God rather than civil privileges that come from government?
Our friend Tom Munns, thank you, Tom. Quickly to Robin. Or when you hear Brian Scott, be caller 10 to register to win that trip to the Daytona 500, courtesy of MCA Nashville and 580 KIDO. Fox News is next. Good morning. KIDO Idaho's.